Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media.
There are 100 Indie Media or IMC websites worldwide providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns and protests.
There are so many people here who are saying no to the government today, and this is democracy in action.
Everybody's here. Everybody in the country seems to be here. They're just coming from all over the place. The banners are showing all the tiny, tiny little pockets of the country. Everybody has come down here.
The project started 3 years ago covering the massive Seattle protests which shut down the World Trade Organization summit.
Uncensored and unsponsored, IMC sites can be updated anywhere, anytime, by anyone.
The open to all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news.
What you are about to hear are some highlights
from these global websites and from our very own UK IMC Wire. For more information or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
The world is waking outside my window. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Drags my senses into the sunlight, for there are things that I must do. Wish me luck now, I have to leave you. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. With my friends now, up to the city, we're gonna shake the gates of hell. And I will tell them, we will tell them, ciao, bella, ciao, bella, ciao, 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 that our sunlight is not for franchise, and wish the bastards drop down dead. Next time you see me, I may be smiling. Bella, ciao, bella, ciao, bella, ciao, 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 I'll be in prison or on the TV.
Hello and welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's the 9th of June and you're listening to Indie Media Radio London on Resonance FM 104.4. It's the G8 time again. The group of eight are meeting in Sea Island, which started yesterday and runs until the 10th. That's in America. Sea Island is a private luxury resort 80 miles south of Savannah in the United States. At the same time, the counter-mobilisations and demonstrations have also started, but amidst an already tense atmosphere. Recently, a state of emergency was introduced across the state, and while only very few permits have actually been issued for official demonstrations, under the state of emergency, they could be revoked, but it seems like with so few demonstrations actually planned, they're being allowed to go ahead. In addition, the state of emergency could allow for martial rule to be declared and curfews to be imposed. Despite this, protesters have been continuing with their plans. Many meetings and alternative forums have been discussing alternatives, and small marches around the militarised area have been taking place. For ongoing coverage of this, you can check out the links to Indie Media Centres which are reporting the protests, as well as live streaming radio, and check out the links there at indiemedia.org.uk. Back in the UK, the different groups around the anti-G8 network called Dissent have been organising solidarity actions. Yesterday there was a critical mass bicycle protest in Nottingham, and on Saturday Nottingham will host a carnival against capitalist demonstration. Anti-G8 protesters have also set up a new autonomous social centre in Worthing in West Sussex. The 23 Topia Squat is hosting a festival of resistance to coincide with the G8 summit in America. A spokesman for the group said, "Next year the G8 will be meeting in the UK and our aim is to show them that they are not welcome here. The message is loud and clear. Expect thousands of us to be gearing up for massive protests everywhere from Scotland to the English South Coast." And 23 Topia, the squat, is in Chapel Road, that's Worthing. The building was previously housing a nightclub and the space is available for campaigns, meetings, art installations, music workshops, and they're planning lots of stuff down there. Other solidarity events include a week of discussions and actions in Cambridge, as well as protests and discussions in Ipswich, Norwich and other towns across the UK. The Dissent Network is in fact planning a range of events and protests throughout the next year in the run-up to the G8 coming to the UK in 2005. It looks like, as we reported last week, that'll be located in Gleneagles in Scotland, although that's not confirmed, and confirmation should come at the close of the current G8 meeting in America. For more information on the Dissent Network, you can check out the website dissent.org.uk.
At the same time as the G8 protests in Savannah, there's been large protests in San Francisco this morning. Amidst lines of riot police, hundreds of protesters disrupted the Biotechnology Industry Organization's BIO annual convention in San Francisco under the banner Reclaim the Commons. Among the large variety of messages demonstrators brought to the conference, many demanded an end to the corporate control of genetic code as intellectual property. Protesters also held up wealth distribution, poverty, and lack of access to basic medical care and nutrition as problems not being solved by big biotech's expensive projects, products, and research and development. Others railed against the loss of biodiversity, genetic contamination, unsafe food, and cancer-causing chemicals produced by the biotech industry, and as well the lack of labelling, safeguards, or accountability in many sectors of the industry. Protesters blockaded the streets by chaining themselves together outside the convention centre and locking onto delegate buses, where the police officers were unable to remove them. Delegates were escorted into the halls by riot cops who pushed and shoved activists out of their way. As police gave protesters free rein in the streets, demonstrators danced and chalked their messages for biotech junior executives peering down from the windowed convention hall. 32 arrests have been reported so far from the action, with 5 arrests in the previous days.
Meanwhile, yesterday in San Francisco, city, state and federal police forces effectively shut down the West Coast anti-G8 mobilisation and reasserted their hold on San Francisco's main streets. San Francisco Reclaim the Streets had called for a mutant-themed anti-G8 RTS action. The sound system and costumed mutants gathered at UN Plaza, threw a stationary street party, and then took to the streets. Within a few blocks, however, a sizable portion of the crowd was encircled by police. California Highway Patrol and Federal Protection Service officers reportedly corralled demonstrators and gave them a choice of either being cited and released or arrested. Although when Freak Radio Santa Cruz correspondent Bradley attempted to leave the area, he was beaten by police. Police ended up making almost 160 arrests there. Meanwhile, police attacked and beat with sticks a number of protesters, bystanders and a homeless man outside of the encirclement. Several protesters were also grabbed off the sidewalk and arrested for no reason at all, including several who had been photographing the police violence. In related news, on Monday in San Francisco, over 100 people marched on the Mexican consulate to protest the continued detention and tortures of demonstrators arrested at the ALCUE trade summit in Guadalajara in Mexico.
Dancing feet to the rescue. want you to know I'm a rainbow tuna. To the rescue, here I am. Want you to know, y'all. Can you shining, the weather is sweet now. Make you wanna move your dancing feet, yeah. But to the rescue, here I am. Want you to know just if you can, here I stand. No.
Monsanto, the world's most prominent biotech company, is facing protests all over the world. Farmers' groups on Mindanao Islands, the Philippines, staged a mock trial that proclaimed agrochemical transnational giant Monsanto Corporation guilty of promoting deadly science and other crimes allegedly committed against the Filipino people. Meanwhile, in South Africa, the Environmental Justice Networking Forum held a demonstration against the lack of public access to information and the unwanted introduction of genetically modified GM foods into South Africa, and in support of BioWatch, who has taken the South African Department of Agriculture and regulatory agencies to court to obtain information related to the permission for planting, growing, and the feeding of these crops to the public. The Department of Agriculture was joined by Monsanto Delta and Pineland and Stoneville Pedigreed Seed, another Monsanto spin-off paying royalties to Monsanto, in opposing BioWatch's action.
And breaking news now, BAE Systems in Edinburgh were this morning being blockaded by members and supporters of Faslane Peace Camp. All gates have been blockaded since 7 o'clock this morning by about a dozen people. They erected banners and were leafleting outside the headquarters, reminding workers and passers-by of BAE's humanitarian record in selling arms. The blockade ended at 11:30 this morning, in fact, with no arrests.
Hooray!
Some of BAE's corruption has been exposed recently, with reports of their illegal slush fund to bribe their way into selling arms. Even without this, their record of manufacturing weapons using radioactive depleted uranium and selling to regions with poor human rights or great civilian suffering makes them one of the most criticised corporations. BAE Systems has export markets across the world. Its Hawk jets alone have been sold to Brunei, Indonesia, Kenya, Kuwait, Malaysia, Oman, Saudi Arabia, South Africa and South Korea, as well as Zimbabwe. In the past year, there has been an angry reaction to the use of its Hawks in Asia and to the sale of heads-up displays for US-built F-16s destined for Israel, as well as to the marketing of arms to India in the midst of conflict over Kashmir. BAE has also been the subject of allegations of bribery regarding deals with the Czech Republic, India and South Africa, and of UN allegations of sanction busting by selling arms to Zimbabwe. BAE Systems has denied both bribery and the sanction-busting allegations. The action this morning in Edinburgh was part of the Faslane Peace Camp's birthday week of events, which ends this weekend in a party, which will have 8 bands and sound systems there. And for more information on that, you can check out www.faslanepeacecamp.org.uk.
Trouble and a rough way to go, but I can't turn back. My
Article from Snooze. Recently in Saudi Arabia, the oil city of Qabar was attacked by Al-Qaeda. Fears that this is the start of a concerted campaign to disrupt oil supplies and damage the US economy had an immediate impact on the price of the barrel, which reached a record high in the States. Our Chancellor, Gordon Brown, said that it is crucial that OPEC act now to keep oil prices down and the world economy stable. Loyola Di Palacio, the EU commissioner, also called on OPEC to increase production, dubiously claiming that her thoughts are with the poor countries that will suffer as a result of the high prices. While Western governments put pressure on OPEC to pump out more and more oil, OPEC point out that they are producing as much as they ever were, and in some cases countries are producing well above their national quotas. The high prices, they say, are due to speculation on the futures markets in Europe. Big companies and countries buy up oil, anticipating further price rises due to the turbulent situation in the Middle East. The effect of this is to push prices through the roof. So to summarise the story, we invaded the Middle East, causing massive destruction and resentment. The price of oil rose, but we still need more oil and buy loads in case the price goes up more. The price does go up a lot more due to the increasing demand, and we blame the Middle East. As climate change campaigning group Rising Tide point out, the problem is not that we will run out of oil, it is that oil is causing massive climate change. As Friends of the Earth put it, fears about rising oil prices demonstrate the need for a massive investment in energy efficiency and alternatives to oil, such as biofuels. Burning oil is the major contributor to global climate change.
Next week, from the 15th to the 21st of June, campaign group Rising Tide are organising an exhibition of resistance to BP and Big Oil. They've got all kinds of events planned. You can check out what they've got going on at www.risingtide.org.uk. One of the things they've got on June the 16th is a street party against BP. And you can check out the London Rising Tide website. That's www.londonrisingtide.org.uk for details of that. In related news, from the 19th to the 21st of November, so it's advance warning here, the Centre for Alternative Technology, CAT, will be running a brand new course, Make Your Own Biodiesel. Now, lots of people have been running these courses around the country, enabling people to produce their own cheap biodiesel without the need to make alterations to their engines. Now, CAT run a whole bunch of courses on environmental sustainability and practical things you can do in your life to try and make a difference. You can check out their website at www.cat.org.uk. Also worth mentioning, Westmill Wind Farm Cooperative. They're about to open their first community-owned wind farm in the southeast of the country. The funds they produce will go into education about sustainable energy and climate change issues in schools and colleges. They'll also be putting on free energy efficiency advice workshops and advising other people on how to start their own energy co-ops. They're going to be launching that on this Saturday, That's the 12th of June, and you can find out more about their project at www.energyforall.co.uk, and the four is the number four. So that's energyforall.co.uk.
Beat on the brat with a baseball bat. Oh yeah, oh ho. Beat on the brat with a baseball bat. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh ho. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh ho.
Okay, Britain bans bare nipple from EU ad. A brief promotional film encouraging people to vote in the European elections has been censored in Britain to eliminate a glimpse of a bare nipple. The advert began screening on May the 28th, but the opening shot of a breastfeeding baby was deemed too shocking for British eyes. Careful editing of the European Parliament production has left the brief breastfeeding scene in, but with the offending nipple left out, on the orders of the Cinema Advertising Association. And last Friday, a group of breastfeeding mothers gathered outside the Cinema Advertising Association to protest at the banning of the offending nipple. They handed in a petition, and the president of the Cinema Advertising Association said that their concerns would be raised in a meeting. And we have some audio from that event. It was a very fluffy event, and we're just going to go to that now.
Which group are you from?
The Mother's Milk Direct Action Group.
Why are you in Golden Square today?
We're posting out at 12 Golden Square, the cinema advertising agency, because they've banned, censored a film, Baby Was Breastfed, and you could see the nipple, and they cut out the nipple, saying that you could not show that to the public because it's too sexual. Whereas we think, and in reality, they were designed for feeding and not for advertising. So we are here because we think it's completely ridiculous. Because breasts are for feeding.
I think the point she made that, you know, nipples and breasts are for feeding babies. That's what they're designed for. We have breasts thrust in our faces every day of the week, just looking at sort of like the sun and stuff like that. We're at the heart of pornography in Soho as well. And I want to say that, you know, it's for our babies. Think about all the images of naked women that are on cinema screens, let alone everywhere else, every day of the week. But in an advert that shows what mother's breast is intended for, the nipple gets censored. And it's absolutely crazy.
It's shocking that anybody would since mother breastfeeding. We just did say that breast is best. They don't know what they're talking about.
You've just been in to hand a petition into Carlton.
It was the Cinema Advertising Association, and their vice president came and met us, accept the petition, which she did very politely. But basically she said, from their point of view, they had to make the ad acceptable to everybody to give it a U certificate. And we just kind of said, well, that's our whole point of view, is that a breast should be acceptable to everybody. You know, it was a baby breastfeeding. And, you know, she said that to them, that's, you know, not acceptable for children. And our whole point is, you know,
breasts were designed for children.
And if that's a problem, then, you know, it's a very, very sad society that we live in. So, yeah, basically, I mean, we made the point as well that no other European country apart from Ireland has taken objection to it. In fact, they show it on daytime TV around Europe, not just cinemas. So she just said they're going to have a meeting about it and they'll let us know what they say. But, you know, there are strict codes governing advertising. So, you know.
And when is this meeting going to take place?
She said she'll get back to us within 2 weeks. So we'll have a response within 2 weeks. And they will treat it as a serious issue, given the strength of feeling, which we have all demonstrated today. So.
Let me tell you how and what one no good man done to me. He called me pretty, young and wild. After that he let me be. He taken advantage of my youth, and that you understand. So wait a while, I'll show you, child, just how to treat a no good man. Make him stay at home, washing out. Tell all the neighbors he done lost his mind. Give your house rent shakes on Saturday night. Monday morning your whole collector's good and tight. You see a man you really like, let him bite that monkey brother in his back. When his cruel heart turns, his love breaks down. Hold him where you got him, make him stay in town. 'Cause I'm a safety woman looking for a safety man. I made him stay at home, help me washing out. The neighbors know he done lost his mind. I give a house rent shake one Saturday night. Monday morning I help collectors good and tight. I seen a man I really like, I let him bite that monkey brother smack in his back. When his cruel heart turned, his love breaks down. I hold it where I had it and he stayed in town. I'm a safety woman and I had to have a safety man. Say, I ain't good looking, I'm built for speed. I got everything a pig meat need. 'Cause I'm a safety woman, I'm looking for a safety man.
V
Visitors to Haddon Hall, North Derbyshire, were last week alerted to the attention of its owner, Lord Edward Manners, to destroy a large area of natural habitat adjoining the famous Nine Ladies Stone Circle through open cast quarrying. Haddon was visited by protesters living on the potential quarry site, together with a group from Doing It Up North, two corporate media crews, and, of course, several vans of police. A banner was displayed at the entrance, and Lord Edward, who will make enormous profits from the quarrying rights, came out to hold a lengthy conversation with the protesters. Lord Edward made an undertaking to visit protesters in their homes at the Nine Ladies site to discuss matters further. He invited people who wanted to enter the dialogue to contact him through the details on the Haddon Hall website.
And staying in the same field, after the Venus transit yesterday, we've got more on astronomical matters. Summer solstice at Stonehenge. The open access arrangements to the stones themselves for the summer solstice has grown massively since it began in the year 2000. In the first year then, there were a few thousand people who attended. But last year, there was something huge, with up to 30,000 people attending the solstice at Stonehenge. This year, the authorities have learnt from their mistake last year when they only allowed access from midnight. The resulting rush, as everybody arrived at the same time, created traffic chaos in the area. So this year, the access times are back to a more sensible structure. The Stonehenge car park opens at 8 p.m. on Sunday the 20th of June and closes at 1 p.m. on Monday the 21st of June. Access to the stones themselves is from 10 p.m. on Sunday until 9 a.m. on Monday. And the actual solstice itself is at 56 minutes past midnight. Security there will be searching bags for glass bottles, as they're not allowed on site, and also bags, large bags, that is, rucksacks and sleeping bags, and blankets are not allowed onto the site either. Some other folks have been advertising a pointless picnic for 9 a.m. on the 21st of June on adjacent National Trust land, though there seems to be some confusion over the times, with previous publicity pointing towards 7 a.m. However, everybody is at pains to stress it will be a peaceful gathering.
Next year's solstice. I've got lost where I'm supposed to be reading from. Hang on. Next year's solstice will be the 20th anniversary of the Battle of the Beanfield. If you don't know, this was a horrendous incident when the police went berserk and attacked scores of people and vehicles in the peace convoy, dragging women through broken windows by their hair and beating countless others. Kim Sabido, a television reporter used to visiting the world's hotspots, did an emotional piece to camera for ITN as he described the worst police violence that he had ever seen. He said that what we, the ITN camera crew, and myself as a reporter, have seen in the last 30 minutes here in this field has been some of the most brutal police treatment of people that I've witnessed in my entire career as a journalist. The number of people who have been hit by policemen, who have been clubbed whilst holding babies in their arms in coaches around this field, is yet to be counted. There must surely be an inquiry after what has happened today. Of course, there was never any inquiry. When Kim Sabido's report was nationally broadcast on ITN News later that day, Sabido's voiceover had been removed and replaced with a dispassionate narrator. The worst film footage of the police brutality had also been edited out. When approached for the footage not shown on the news, ITN claimed it was missing. Sabido, the journalist, said, "When I got back to ITN during the following week and I went to the library to look at all the rushes, most of which I thought we'd shot, was no longer there. From what I'd seen of what ITN has provided since, it has just disappeared, particularly some of the nastier shots."
Thank you.
From the IMC UK Newswire, upcoming day of action against Caterpillar on the 25th of June, posted by an anti-caterpillarist on the 8th of the 6th. Friday the 25th of June will see what should be the first of many days of action against Caterpillar, or as they have affectionately come to be known, Caterkiller. The action will be focused in the West Midlands area, where Caterpillar has a number of plants. Caterpillar has been targeted for supplying D9 military bulldozers to Israel, despite knowing that they are used to murder civilians, including peace activist Rachel Corrie, and countless Palestinians, and used to demolish thousands of civilian homes in illegal acts of collective punishment. The actions will start early in the day, and all meet-up points will be published at a later date. The organisers request participants come along wearing military-style uniforms, bringing water pistols. And this day of action will be the latest in a long line of protests targeting Caterpillar. These have included many high street actions aimed at encouraging a boycott of their branded products, an occupation of Cat's exhibit at a trade fair, rooftop occupations at their headquarters, leafleting inside the factory, which stopped work for a day on the anniversary of Rachel Corrie's murder, and attempts to present Caterpillar staff with a Home Wrecker of the Year award, as well as an early morning picnic and another attempt to present the Home Wrecker of the Year award in the car park as the staff arrive for work.
Another item from the Newswire. In Libya, several Bulgarian nurses face the death penalty, being accused of deliberately spreading the HIV virus in a hospital. The story started 6 years ago when five Bulgarian nurses, one Bulgarian doctor and a Palestinian doctor were arrested in Libya on charges of conspiracy against the Libyan government. They were accused of deliberately infecting some 400 children with HIV. During their trial, the French doctor who first isolated the HIV virus, Professor Montagné, and the Italian AIDS scholar Vittorio Colizzi have testified that the hospital AIDS epidemic in Libya was caused by poor hygiene and not by the seven medical workers who were on trial on charges of deliberately spreading the disease. Despite this, and despite efforts of the Bulgarian government to raise support internationally, on May the 6th, the five Bulgarian nurses were sentenced to death by a firing squad. Five common Bulgarian women could be shot as a result of this shameless blackmail. In fact, if the outside world does not take issue with this soon, they will be shot.
You're listening to Indie Media, Radio London. Don't hate the media. Be the media.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police.
Tonight there's a meeting called End the Occupation, Why the US UK Troops Should Leave Iraq Now. That's at 7 p.m. at the Indian YMCA, 41 Fitzroy Square, with speakers Tariq Ali, Jeremy Hardy, Haifa Sangana, an Iraqi writer and activist, and Eva Jazovitz, an eyewitness, recently returned from Iraq. From tomorrow until the end of the month, comedian Mark Thomas has organised a Coca-Cola Nazi advert challenge to highlight the links between the company and the Nazi regime. And that's at the Foundry, which is 86 Great Eastern Street, Old Street Tube. For information on that, check out www.mtcp.co.uk. That's www.mtcp.co.uk. M for monkey, T for Tina, C for cop, P for penny.co.uk. And on Saturday the 12th, there's the World Naked Bike Ride. The event will be happening in cities across the world, including Seattle, Vancouver, Berlin, and yes, London. And for more information, see www.worldnakedride.org.
Now, Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping, New York street theatre troupe, have been visiting London. Earlier this week, Vanessa Feltz and her producers booted them out of their show, their radio show, for stating what they see as the true costs of Ronald Reagan's policies and Starbucks' anti-labour practices. The producers of the BBC London show with Vanessa Feltz asked the Stop Shopping gospel choir to leave the studio after they sung the song George Bush Does Not Return to Ground Zero. After much freneticness and hand signals, they were finally thrown out when Reverend Billy said that Walmart is the devil and that Starbucks and that Starbucks preside over infant mortality rates in Guatemala that must drive us from our pose with the double latte. That prompted the BBC staff to chuck them out of the door. Anyway, tonight Reverend Billy and his Stop Shopping choir are appearing at Conway Hall at 7 o'clock. It's £5 concessions. That's at Conway Hall, 25 Red Lion Square. And just enough time for one more event this Saturday. On Saturday the 12th of June, there's the European Creative Forum event, which runs from 1 in the afternoon until 1 in the morning. Lots of discussions around the European Social Forum, of which you'll be hearing a lot more over the coming months. And in parallel with that, at the same venue, there's an alternative media tech assembly to discuss possible alternative media and technology projects around the European Social Forum, which is planned in London for October, and that'll be looking at radio, video streaming, alternative media centres and so on. So that's all happening this Saturday, and that's at Project 142. That's 142 Leabridge Road in Hackney, and you can get the details of that at www.europeancreativeforum.org. Yeah, europeancreativeforum.org. You've been listening to Indie Media Radio London on Resonance FM 104.4. Just time to say goodbye. We'll see you next week.
And coming up next is Ben's Late to Lunch, Out to Lunch show. Okay, bye-bye.
You are engaged in an authorised procedure. Remain where you are.
Officers are
I need an intercept.
The point of surveillance is to get us to internalize the gaze of power structure, to police ourselves, to feel that we are constantly being monitored, to assume that every camera has in it film and is running.
And now Free Crime can work for you.
We want to make absolutely certain that every American can bank on the utter infallibility of the system, and to ensure that what keeps us safe will also keep us free.
The very first thing that the Nazis did when they took power in 32 was to hire IBM to reconstruct their census. So using essentially computers, they were punch card computers, they were mechanical computers that could tabulate and analyze information on these punch cards. And what the Nazis did was they created a very, very detailed census so that they could cross-reference their population for all sorts of variables. For example, whether someone was Jewish and wealthy and from the East, or half-Jewish and from Germany. And what they did with this extremely detailed portrait of their population was to initiate the Holocaust in a totally rationalized way that was deemed by the Nazis to be more palatable to Germans. So what they did was the very first Jews that they went after going after homosexuals and communists and gypsies, they went after wealthy Jews who had immigrated from Eastern Europe, since this was a group that your average German anti-Semite felt least connected to. After they'd rounded them up, they went for wealthy German Jews and then people of half-Jewish descent. And they did their roundup very, very rationally, methodically, using these computers. The numbers on Holocaust survivors' arms, those tattooed numbers, are essentially the barcodes that were linked to the Hollerith machines that IBM leased to the Nazis. And they had these in every death camp. They had them all over the place. They were constantly using this computer technology and the information they had gleaned in their census to manage the whole project of liquidating European Jewry.
Everything will be alright. We are here to help you stay calm. We are not going to harm you. Everything will be alright.
The first Americans to really have their papers demanded of them were slaves in the antebellum South. And the system under slavery, which was an informal society, this agricultural society, the methods of control, along with just brute terror against slaves by the slave-owning class, involved a rudimentary form of policing called slave patrols, which were groups of white men who were forced to act as anti-slave police for a weekend a month, and they would search slaves' homes looking for contraband, weapons, food, any sign of a planned escape or whatever. But they would also stop people on the road because there was constant movement. Slaves were traveling back and forth for legal, legitimate, quote-unquote, purposes, and also as part of the sub rosa economy of buying and selling illicit goods and stealing from the masters who had stolen from them, plotting escape, plotting rebellion. So any slave, any person in bondage, any indentured servant who was on the road in the antebellum South had to have a written pass from a master, an owner, or an overseer. And this would just say, you know, who they were and where they were going, and it would usually be addressed to the slave pass, to the patrol, to the slave patrol. So for slaves to resist in any way, they had to get such passes. They had to forge the passes themselves or find someone else who could forge one for them. And then this becomes a key component in the whole politics of literacy under slavery. And a lot has been written about literacy under slavery. Frederick Douglass most eloquently talked about his struggle to learn how to read. And usually in American history, the slave's quest for literacy is cast in terms, metaphysical terms of literacy being connected to humanity. And the master class sought to deny the humanity of slaves so as to justify the system. The slaves, in turn, sought to assert their humanity, and literacy became the site of struggle. That's all true, but there was something much more sort of technical and fundamental in this, which is that for slaves to resist and escape and rebel and survive, they needed to forge slave passes, manumission documents, and they needed, therefore, to have paper, and they needed to know how to read and write. They were sort of the first hackers, too. They took the informational technology of the system that was controlling them, and they broke into it, rewrote its code, and turned it back upon itself. The history of the privacy discourse in the U.S. focuses, flowing from Louis Brandeis, the first non-WASP on the U.S. Supreme Court, a great civil libertarian, flowing from his dissenting opinion in a 1928 case called Olmstead versus the United States, there's a real conception of privacy as being an individual quality of life issue rather than a collective social political issue. And Brandeis talked about how government invasion of privacy didn't respect a citizen's sense of well-being and their thoughts and their emotions, all of which is true, but there's something else at stake, which is the social balance of power between classes, between antagonistic social groups. And fundamentally, society is not a machine that works coherently as a single unit, but it's actually more like a battlefield in which there are always competing and clashing social interests. And when you have a project of routine surveillance reaching the level it's reached today, you have a very dangerous power imbalance set where the government has massive power over citizens who might dissent, employers have massive power over workers who might and do dissent and organize, and likewise, all powerful groups have greater technical advantage in pursuing their interests. Feeling is the site at which surveillance takes hold and is most effective. It's not employers and the government don't want to put cameras everywhere and have ID badges on everyone and all this sort of stuff so as to catch people who've done wrong, so much as they want a society that is littered with surveillance technology so as to prevent anyone from ever disobeying or dissenting in any way. And the point of surveillance is to get us to internalize the gaze of the power structure, to police ourselves, to feel that we are constantly being monitored, to assume that every camera has in it film and is running, when in fact many don't. And in fact, there are many, many blind spots in this system of surveillance. And so the goal is to breed paranoia and to disempower people through that paranoia and to naturalize obedience and to legitimize all rules and regulations in the society so that people cannot imagine disobedience, they cannot imagine a society beyond the laws that they're given, and they don't have in their repertoire the ability to dissent and resist because their entire life from grade school on up to paying taxes as an adult has been regulated with an almost seamless regime of routine surveillance.
You are a true believer. Blessings of the state, blessings of the masses. Thou art a subject of the divine, created in the image of man, by the masses, for the masses. Let us be thankful we have come. Buy more now.
Smart cards are basically like credit cards or driver's licenses that have either a magnetic strip, which is the real simple kind, which just contains information that can be downloaded and read by a computer. But the next generation of all this stuff is where a magnetic strip is passive. It just has information on it that can be read. But increasingly, particularly in Europe, there are ID and credit cards that have these little integrated circuit inlays that can both drop off information in a machine and pick up information. So they can sort of build a live dossier on your little credit card. Data valence is a term that some sociologists use to describe the prevalent form of routine surveillance in the society in which it is the informational doppelganger or shadow that one casts in the course of routine commerce in the digital age that is the object of surveillance more than your body. So in other words, it's not that you're kept under watch by cameras so much as it is that every time you use your credit card or some other such form of electronic cash, you're connecting your identity to a time and a place and often some sort of activity, buying, reading, some working, something like that. So then it's the collection and dissemination and analysis of this information is data valence, the surveillance of data rather than bodies and images. And that's the main form of surveillance that we are subject to in this country. Increasingly, as video and film become digitalized, then there's a merging between visual surveillance and data valence. So, for example, in DC, there's a system now in which all of the surveillance cameras that are owned by the city and federal government, and even some surveillance cameras from private security firms, are linked into a single monitoring system. And when the video is digitalized, it can be turned into ones and zeros, and then the patterns, thanks to sophisticated software, can be searched automatically. So you have this merging of data valence and visual surveillance. Because previously, you know, a million hours of videotape would be almost worthless. I mean, it would require human beings viewing all of that to say, to find the license plate of a fugitive or something like that. But now that kind of stuff can be done automatically. And that information, that technology comes from casinos, interestingly enough. They have taken over from the Pentagon in many regards as really like the cutting edge institutions in terms of developing the new technologies of routine surveillance. Another interesting technology that comes from casinos is linking point of sales computerized cash registers that can monitor keystrokes on a cash register and have that timed with digital video. So then they can search the records of the cash register to see if there's any sort of inconsistencies where someone might be stealing, and then also match that with pattern recognition searches using sophisticated software of the video to see if someone, a cashier, is, for example, looking over their shoulder at the same time that there's maybe something funky in the accounting of the cash register. This is proliferating. This is the kind of stuff they use in Taco Bell now. And it was developed in casinos to make sure that dealers weren't doing stuff like putting their hands under the table and putting chips in their pockets.
Research into advanced relay system must be given.
Civil liberties are designed so as to protect the innocent from the excesses of the law. It seems to me that there's another subtextual element in our legal tradition around civil liberties, is that they not only protect the innocent from the excesses of law, but they protect certain types of political guilt. They create a certain type of gray area where reasonable social struggle takes place. And that kind of legal gray area, where the moral tests the legal, where socially created notions of the ethical test the politically created notions of the legal, that's being foreclosed by this proliferation of digital surveillance and by the politics of this current administration.
THX 1138 will be taken into custody at a minimal monetary expenditure. Total operation cost 6,000 credits under budget. Congratulations. Be efficient. Be happy.
It's like the end of THX 1138, in which is George Lucas's maybe only good movie, I don't know, but it's his first movie. It's sort of like all of the scientific dystopic fantasies rolled into one. People are forced to take medication and sort of confess to these altars, to this image that's sort of like Jesus Christ, sort of like Stalin or Big Brother. And in the end, this main character escapes from this awful underground society and gets out and is in a desert. I mean, there is no outside of society. There is no individual solution. And that's why we have to resurrect, you know, the traditions of disobedience and collective social struggle and create laws that put employer and police surveillance in check and say, no, no, here you may not go. You may not share this information. You may not keep track of people in that way. These cameras have to be turned off.
You know what I want ideas. I want one idea to get us out of here.
Stay calm. Everything will be all right.